Thank you for that beautiful special music. Kind of a sermon in itself, isn't it? Really appreciate that. Especially, I think, meaningful for the times that we live in, and putting God first is absolutely a must at these times. So no doubt about that. So appreciate it. Beautiful voices. Something about family that blends and is such a beautiful sound. So really appreciate that. Thanks for bringing that to us today. I know it means that life goes on, doesn't it? Life goes on, but it has been different. Life has been different. I think it's been different for all of us, hasn't it? I think we can think of a number of ways that these challenges that have been presented to us have impacted us. We haven't been able to get together. You miss being together? I sure do. It's kind of odd coming into the building here on the Sabbath and not too many people here. We're kind of teasing about it a little bit earlier that we can fellowship with everyone who is at services, every single person, because there aren't very many. And so some of those differences and challenges are very impactful. You think about the challenges that we have on our jobs. We have to do our jobs differently today. We can't even shop the way we normally would. And so have you wondered, what is God telling us? What does it mean? In fact, as you think about that, one of the big topics of conversation this last week was what's going to happen when they lift the restrictions. They're talking about opening up the economy again. Well, what is our daily life going to be like? Is it going to be business as usual? I mean, there are those out there that think, oh, the economy is going to bounce right back, and we'll be right back at it all once again. And then there's others that aren't quite so optimistic. So what'll happen to your life? Will the busyness, the activities, how about the distractions, the commotion, the preoccupation, will that be our normal again? When you consider that, all too often, that's what happens. That is the case. Can you think of examples of that where there's been a crisis and then, well, after it passes, everything goes back exactly the way it was? I think first, going back 19 years ago to 9/11, it was a huge event in America. I mean, it was horrible, a terrorist attack on American soil. And I was amazed to see politicians from every variety that you could imagine standing on the steps of the Capitol, all singing God Bless America together. And it just seemed like an amazing moment that things are going to be different. But then time passed, and pretty soon they were back to hating each other all over again, not getting along. The whole idea of solidarity was far removed once things kind of went back to normal. Now, you can probably think of biblical examples of that as well. After a crisis, go back the way they were. I mean, look at the whole story of Israel coming out of Egypt. How many times did they want to keep going back? You think of other biblical examples? How about the example of Lot and his salty wife? Yes, she wanted to go back. Well, after a crisis, it is easy to go back to the way things were. But when we think about us and our life, and then this idea of restrictions being lifted, what will be our new normal? One example that I found very interesting is the example of Peter. Think about the Apostle Peter for a moment. The first time we hear about Peter is back in the book of Matthew. And what is he doing? He's fishing. Peter's fishing. He and his brother Andrew are fishing, throwing their nets out into the lake, and Jesus Christ comes along. And Christ says, "Follow me." And remember what he told them? "I'll make you fishers of men." So what do? They drop their nets, they follow Christ. Peter does exactly what Jesus asks him to do, and he follows him. He leaves behind everything that he knows, everything that he's familiar with, and he gives it all up and commits himself to follow Christ. In fact, for 3.5 years, he spends his life with Jesus Christ. He listens to his teachings. He watched him heal. Peter was not just one of the 12. He was actually in the inner circle of Jesus Christ, one of the closest disciples to Jesus Christ. I mean, after all, he was the only one to walk on the water. He was one of those three that witnessed the transfiguration when Christ glorified himself before them. I mean, he experienced amazing things. He participated. He wasn't just, you know, an onlooker. He wasn't just standing by and seeing these. He actually participated in miraculous events as well. He participated in feeding the 5,000. How about catching all those fish where Christ said, here's where you need to throw your net? What about watching the weather suddenly be calmed? Can you imagine being in the presence of someone like Jesus Christ who actually resurrects someone and they come back to life right in front of your eyes? I mean, that was Peter. Peter was right there. Then the crucifixion. The crucifixion occurs, the death of Christ happens. Peter was one of the first to run to that empty tomb and go inside. That was a difficult time, confusing. It wasn't all the expectations that they had, you know, considered that would happen. And over the next several days after the resurrection, Jesus actually appears to the disciples. Now we get to the critical point. The crisis has happened. About 10 days later, or at least it's 10 days later, we find an interesting occurrence in the book of John. Turn over to John chapter 21, verse 2, and we'll pick up the story there. After the crisis of the crucifixion, we have the resurrection. Christ has appeared to the disciples. He's appeared to Peter. But now there seems to be a little bit of a lull, and we're quite a few days later afterwards. And when we get to John chapter 21, we're by the Sea of Galilee, by the Sea of Tiberias. And notice who's here, John 21, verse 2. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, so James and John are there as well, and two others of his disciples were together. So we've really got the majority of the guys. The majority of the guys are together. And Peter, being the leader that he was, notice what he says, verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, what, are you crazy? No, they didn't say that. They said, we're going with you also. And they went out immediately, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Now, what did Peter say? Let's focus on that for a minute. I'm going fishing. If you read it in the King James, it says, I go a-fishing. I go a-fishing. Well, I mean, some of the commentaries go pretty easy on Peter and aren't sure exactly of his motivation. I mean, was this just having fun? Was this just recreational fishing? Going to kill some time? Going to relax just a little bit? Going to chill out on the water? Maybe Peter was so bored he just thought, yeah, feel like fishing a little bit. Is that really the case? There's some interesting things going on here. We begin to tear it apart. If you look at this word going in the Greek, it's the word hupago in the Greek. And it has several different meanings. It can mean to withdraw. It can mean to go away or depart. In fact, 17 times in the New Testament is translated to go your own way, to go one's way. I'm going out there to fish. I'm going out to fish, some translations say. Others say, the Young's Literal says, I go away to fish. You see, and you can't help but think, well, Jesus wasn't around to follow anymore. So Peter seems to say, I'm going to go back to what I know. I got to go back to what I'm really good at. You know, that's what my life was all about. And, you know, I'm out of here. I'm going back fishing. I mean, when you think about it, he probably didn't know, well, what else am I supposed to do? And don't we have that tendency? We have that tendency to go back to our comfort zone. This is what I know. And, of course, he goes back to what he knew best. I mean, after all, he had a whole lot more experience fishing than he did with being an apostle. Now, looking at this story, it is interesting when Christ appears after this, down in verse 15. Christ refers to him as Simon, son of Jonah. But wait a second, didn't Christ call him Peter? You are Peter, you're this little stone, and on my church, I'll build my church on the rock. Didn't Christ call him Peter? You see, it's interesting because that title of Peter, son of Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah, was what he used to be. That's where he used to be. Peter had gone back to what he was as, well, Jonah's son, not the person that Jesus Christ had called him to be, not to the duty and the responsibility to fulfill that calling as an apostle of Jesus Christ. So instead, Peter fishes for fish instead of fishing for men. And interesting, he wasn't doing too good at that after all. Now you consider this story. Are we tempted to say, I'm going back. Because no doubt, after a crisis, and once it passes, it's easy to go back to the way things were. What will be the new normal? What will be the new normal? You see, Jesus Christ challenges Peter to embrace the new normal. We can't go back to what was normal in the past. That's unacceptable. We are called to live in the new normal, a new way, the new reality that's right before us. And there's no doubt God's way, His normal, is always to engage and to challenge us and to continue to help us to grow in our calling and the mission that He set even before the church. And so as states begin to open up their economy, businesses begin to go back to work. You know, they're proposing a new roadmap to recovery. Well, when are they going to do this, and how is it going to happen? Well, spiritually speaking, when? Better be now. Better be now for us. Maybe how is the question. How do we continue to live our lives when, on the outside, maybe they'll begin to get back to a bit more normal, or what was normal before? If we begin to think about the new normal, you see what's past, what's been happening over these last few weeks? I think God's given us a time to reset. This is a time to reset. When have we ever been challenged and faced with a disruption of everyday life? Our everyday schedules have been different. Everybody's have been. You see, it's time to reset. We can't go to restaurants. How about movie theaters? They're shut down. What about conferences? Well, we've even got the GCE that we can't meet together in person. And so shopping and schools in Ohio are closed down for the rest of the school year. Socializing, not supposed to be getting together with groups of people. And so when we look at those challenges, I believe first and foremost, God's given us this time to reset. And so we've been staying at home, and unless you're an essential business or you've got essential errands to run, we're not supposed to be out and about. Now that then tends to give us a little more time. Now I know maybe some of us has taken too much advantage of that. We may sit and watch services in our pajamas. Not sure that's necessarily the best, or maybe we're not singing along when people are singing, or maybe, hey, during the sermon, I can get up and go get a snack during church, and hey, nobody knows. I mean, yeah, okay, those things are definitely different, but it shouldn't change what's most important to us. God's given us this time that we have to reassess. We have to reevaluate. I mean, haven't you had the time to re-examine how you spend your time? I mean, we should have had that. We may have it for a while yet to come. And so, have you reset your vision? Have you reset your vision when it comes back to the spiritual side of things? I mean, if you think for a moment, think back before the coronavirus. What was most important to you? What was your focus? You see, when I challenge myself with that question, all too often, I come back to the things that don't last, the things that are temporary. Have we been too focused on the temporary rather than the eternal? You see, when we reset, we have to quit looking at the things we see and look to the things that are unseen. And after all, how much have we been caught up in just that restless, relentless pursuit of the temporary? I mean, isn't that the American way? That's the American way. You go after the transient, the things that aren't going to last, the fleeting things, the things that are going to pass. You see, we can't go back to business as usual. We can't go back to busyness as usual. That can't be. We've got to focus and exert ourselves to focus on what's permanent, what's eternal. Because if we focus on the temporary, what's going to result? I mean, there's not real meaning there. Where do you find the real meaning for life? Where do you find real contentment? You focus on the temporary, you're going to be a Solomon. You focus on the things that don't last, and you're going to struggle your whole life to find contentment, and you will not ever get there. It's not possible. Our new normal has to be different. Our reset, our restart, our reboot, this opportunity that God has given us should refocus our lives to the eternal. Beautiful passage over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Perhaps it came to mind as I was mentioning a couple of these things about this time to reboot, this time to restart, this time to rediscover the importance of what is most important. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, the Apostle Paul was helping the Corinthians to reexamine their lives because they had gotten so far off track. They had let the temporary things get in the way of what was truly important, of the spiritual things. And so he writes to them, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. He says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." See, don't get caught back up in all of the bigger, better deals, the physical things, money and houses and all those things that can get us off track. He says, "For the things that are seen, they're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal." And so the question is, do I really focus on the eternal? Because it's so easy to allow the temporary to get in the way. The everyday, the daily, day in, day out, that consumes my energy, that consumes my effort, that consumes my vision, my focus. And yeah, okay, the everyday, yeah, we have to spend some time with the everyday. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Our jobs, we've got to make a living so we can provide for our families. No doubt about it. It takes a lot of our attention. But it's still temporary. I mean, even think about our bodies, our physical bodies. Yeah, we've got to maintain our bodies. And maybe some of us have been doing a good job of that during this time we've been sheltering in place. I don't think I've gained a pound. Now, my belt might say something a little bit different, but I don't know. But it points out the fact our bodies are even temporary. And I know with the challenges that we're facing these days, for many, maybe most of us, our finances are on our minds as well. Yet that's a temporary thing as well. And we oftentimes get into this roller coaster of emotions that, how are we going to do that? How are we going to take care of that? How is it possible that it's all going to work out? And when we keep our minds focused on those things, those temporary things, that can become kind of a taskmaster if we let it. But this time of reset, hopefully it's helped us to reorganize our thoughts so that we've come to the point to realize that this stressful, worried time, these hours upon hours that we spend on the temporary, really aren't what it's all about. And in many cases, it's just been a waste of time. It's just been a waste of time. And so as we reboot, we have to reset and ask ourselves, how much do I really think eternally? How much do I really focus on that? If I'm not thinking eternally, what's the value? I think it's fair to say it's eternally worthless, isn't it? It's eternally worthless. In fact, if you're still there in 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 5, verse 17. I think chapter 5, verse 17 really gets down to this reset button that we've been put before. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's hit the reset button. He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You see, hitting that reboot, that restart, restarting our spiritual economy in that sense, it's more about being a new creation in Christ. You know, have I really quit trying to muddle through life on my own? Have I really done that and put that behind? Is it really passed? Is it really passed away so that it can't come back? Because we can't go back to the same old place. We can't become entangled in the same old sin. Those things are supposed to have been passed away. And we make that choice then each and every day to start over and reset to God's way of life. I mean, even though, yeah, it may seem like we're in prison, sheltering in place may feel like we're under house arrest. But instead of thinking of it like that, we can think of it as rest, an opportunity to rest, an opportunity to really delve into God's Word and read, an opportunity to sit in stillness and meditate and reflect on God and His way and our lives and our commitment to Jesus Christ. Or we can focus on the scene. I mean, is it just a time? I mean, I read in the paper the other day, Netflix subscriptions have gone through the roof at this time. Is this time just for more Netflix? Is it time for more Candy Crush? Is it more time for Fortnite and Prime? And that's what it's more time for? Can't be. But all too often, those things get in the way. You see, God says, we need a reset. Can we use this opportunity to ask ourselves, what have I really learned spiritually from this? As I rethink my life, as I reset and look and re-envision what's most important like in life, seeing the unseen. Because all too often, we rely too much on the things we see. We rely on our cars and our phones and our, well, even our bodies. But those things all break down. And sometimes when they do break down, it reminds us how much we've taken those things for granted. I mean, imagine what would have happened to our society if it had gone even a step farther. And who knows? It will. I mean, when you go to Kroger's and there's no toilet paper on the shelf, people go crazy. Well, what's going to happen when there's no food? Well, see, we take those things for granted. I'm reminded of what the prophet Isaiah recorded for us. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 points to that time of reflection that we've been given, that we can't have a mindset like Peter and the other disciples had after they weren't sure what to do, after the crisis was seemingly past. You can't go back to the old normal. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18, we're reminded, "Don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old." Don't go back that direction. Verse 19, "Behold, I will do a new thing," God says. "Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now, of course, that's ultimately pointing to the time of the millennium and the establishment of God's kingdom. But for us, we should already be living this way. And you think about the opportunities that we've already had over the last few weeks. Haven't you had some extra time? Maybe time to be with family. I know we've had time to take walks. I've seen many of my neighbors I've never seen before that live up the street that are walking by now. You know, we've had time even late at night. And many are now schooling their children at home. And most of us are working from home. And so it has been an opportunity to reset and rethink and keep on, to keep on with those wonderful blessings. That's what we need to rethink about. In fact, as we reset, another thing we can consider, think about the losses. Think about the losses. As we reset, I think a consideration we need to keep in mind is our losses. Because there's no doubt we've all experienced some hurt. This virus has harmed us, whether or not we've had it or not. It has caused, I think, almost everyone to miss out on something. We've missed. We've missed out. We've missed out on being together. Might be as simple as our ABC Chorale, traveling to local congregations and serving them and singing for them. But it could be as serious as losing your job, not being able to provide for your family. Or how about those that have lost a loved one? What a horrible situation to lose a family member and not even be able to be at the hospital when they pass. No funeral. Those are horrible things. And we've all been affected by this pandemic in one way or another. We've been going through a pretty tough thing. Parents, think about your children. They've been missing. They've been missing out. They missed their activities, or maybe they've missed their class, or missing Sabbath lessons. I mean, sports have been canceled. We've been missing out. And some of those things really add meaning to life. They're really wonderful things. They add value to life. Now, as we consider our losses, I think we also have to think then, have we found that our kids are actually okay without being a part of every single activity? They are. They are. And as we think about those things that we've lost, one of the things that comes to my mind is our security. We've lost our security. Our security has been compromised. And I'm not talking about our computers or our phones or things like that. Things we take for granted. Don't we have a tendency to, especially if we're in good health, don't we take our health for granted? Right now, we go out in public and you have to wear a mask. You can't take your health for granted. If we've lost our job, we're on furlough, you can't help taking your wealth, recognizing the fact that that's not secure either. Well, now I have to ask myself, since those things are a loss, my security's been compromised, had I made that an idol? Had I idolized those things and not even realized that I had? I mean, what do we really do when our security is compromised? What matters most when health and wealth aren't any longer a given? Well, what matters more than our health? What matters more than our finances? What matters more than our career? What matters more than money? You see, as we count our losses, I think that's something we could really take to heart. We could even begin to make a list. What are the things that we've lost out on? What have you missed the most? Make a list. Make a list, because I think as we make a list of those things, it'll really tell us a lot about ourselves. I think Paul may have had that in mind when he wrote to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18 is an interesting section of Scripture, because I think there's a direct connection to what we face today. Here's the Apostle Paul writing to those in Philippi who have supported him, who've encouraged him during a very difficult time. And what's Paul's perspective? Let's take a look. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Paul says, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." Verse 19, he says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, as we kind of read this passage a little bit out of context, we might forget where Paul was. What was his situation as he writes, "I have all and I abound. I got nothing to complain about. Things are wonderful." He's in jail. He is in a Roman imprisonment when he writes this. He says, "I'm full. I'm full." Well, how could he say that? How could he say that? Well, because as he counted his losses, he recognized the fact that God supplies everything that he truly needs. That's what God does. And so as we recognize the things that we've missed out on, the things that are losses, what we can do is think about, well, have those commitments, have those activities, were they really adding to my life? Do I have to fill up every moment with activity or entertainment? Every weekend has to be filled, jam-packed with activities. I have to be totally entertained all the time. Do I have to say yes to everything? Has my life really been better for filling up every open second with tasks or productivity or commitments? I mean, is that really the case? You see, this time has given us time, and we can really contemplate it. What's needed and what's just a want? What's a want versus a need? And you know, as you think about that, some things that have been taken away, the new normal, they're not worth adding back. We don't want to go back there. In fact, as we think about these times, we're challenged because we can't do it on our own. I can't take on this unseen enemy. I can't do it. And we begin to realize our weaknesses. This is an unseen enemy. And so we have to go to the source where we can get strength. When we consider our losses, where can we find gain? Well, we go back to what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. I should have had you hold your place here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Paul was certainly faced with many losses throughout his life, throughout his ministry. And there was a particular challenge that he had when it came to his health. I was reminded of this as you think of the coronavirus and COVID-19. You know, Paul had his own physical challenges that he faced, and he went to God with them. And as he went to God, God said, "Well, now is not the time for your physical healing." 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, God says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And so as we consider our losses, we consider those things that maybe are weaknesses. Can we ask God to help give us that perspective, that I could boast and be happy even in those shortcomings, even in those infirmities, even in those weaknesses, that we can illustrate the power of Christ in our life. As we reset, that has to be the case. Now, I think that takes us to the next step. When we reset, yes, consider the losses, but at the same time, what's been the good things? We also have to consider the positive benefits that have been here. Now, I know it's hard after things have been so abruptly changed and shut down. What can be good about that? I mean, is there any silver lining to all of these kinds of things? Well, I don't know about you, but it's been great to start the day with my wife. Instead of just dashing off after a quick bite to eat, we can actually sit down and have a cup of coffee together. We can sit out on the porch and say hi to the neighbors as they walk by. We have a little extra time. Coffee with Kathy is awesome. What a highlight of the day. What a blessing from God. Maybe your evenings are a little bit freer as well. Have you had time just to bond with family? I mean, that's an amazing blessing. I know parents. All right, Ohio schools are shut down. Parents are definitely appreciative of their school teachers, much more appreciative maybe than they were before the shutdown. But it's time for projects. Maybe you've done some of those projects that you've been putting off for a long time around the house, and you actually found time to do some of those. I mean, have you thought about this in a different kind of a way? Think about it positive. How about thinking of those things this time? Yeah, it's a time of difficulty, but it's also a gift. This time has been a gift. And when we get to the new normal, don't forget the gift. Don't forget the gift that you've been. Maybe that's another thing you could write down. Write down these positive things that have been happening, these blessings that have been maybe kind of hidden from this time. But do your best to keep that going, to keep that going. I mean, when you think about the crisis, it's been, wow, who would have thought it would be going on and on and on? And I think part of the challenge is, I know for some of us, we're waiting for the positive. It's hard to think of the positive thing. I don't see the silver lining. It doesn't seem to be coming. I'm looking for the happy ending, and I don't see it. I haven't gotten there in my life, in my experience. Maybe you have, but maybe you're in one of those places that's a very difficult, and that happy ending never seems to come. You know, I think that's when we're tempted to look out and only see the darkness and only see the storm clouds. But that's not what God wants us to see. And that's where this reset has to really impact our thinking. I couldn't help but think of what God told the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 31. If you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, notice what God tells them. You know, as they're going to enter into the promised land, God gives them instructions and guidance. He gives his law. He shows them, here's the way to live. As you get to this new normal, as you come from that time of being slaves, that time of sheltering in place when you didn't want to be sheltered, when you were enslaved in Egypt, now, as you come into the new normal, as you come into the promised land, this should be your perspective. Consider the positive. Verse 6, Deuteronomy 31, be strong and of good courage. Don't fear nor be afraid for them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And of course, part of that responsibility is on us. Be determined, in other words, be strong. Choose to be, well, the storm clouds are on the horizon. I don't see the happy ending. I don't see the silver lining. But he tells them, be determined, be confident, choose to have that kind of outlook, because God is with you. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to abandon you. So even in those times that we can't seem to think positively, we feel lost, we feel discouraged, we don't see the silver lining. What about God's promises? He promises to provide hope. He promises to give us strength. I mean, God is not socially distant. He promises to stay close. As we stay close to him, his promise, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We draw near to him, and he will draw near to us. It's a reminder of his presence. And as we continue to seek him and his word, he shows us the ultimate silver lining of his plan and his purpose. I mean, when we're feeling the loss, when we're feeling the discouragement, it's God that can give us the hope. Even if we can't see the bright side of things, we're reminded we can call out to God in prayer, and we can meditate on his word. And his word, the Bible, it reveals the fact that he has a plan, he has a purpose, and ultimately, he will preserve us. He will cover us with his love. And even in these circumstances, he says, I'll never leave you, and there is hope. And so, what could be more positive? Because God says, I am your security. And so God promises to take it on him, to calm my worry, to calm my fears, to calm me and give me the peace of mind that I really need. God promises that. And so as we consider this time and possibly coming back to a new normal, don't forget these times of the new things that we've been doing and think about what we were doing even before the shutdown, and compare that to what would been going on now. And talk to God about it. Pray to God about it. We can make sure that we're going to stay in that best new normal state of mind. And so we can pray about, okay, God, when they lift the restrictions, I need you more than ever. I need you more than ever. And so maybe that brings us to a point that we can even ask the question, what is it that God has revealed to me during this time? You know, it has been a time of reset. There has been losses. There's been many positive things as well. But God's used this time to reveal things to us. I mean, some of it's just been, wow, I never thought I was that anxious of a person before. Never thought I would have that much uncertainty in my life. But hopefully amid this, God's brought us closer, and this crisis has pushed us closer to God, and maybe uncovered ways in my life that I was just depending on myself. I was just depending on my own ability to keep it all together. And maybe God's revealed some of those shortcomings. He's shown some of those flaws and those defects that I can't be dependent on myself. That has to change. And so what has God revealed to you? It's interesting that at the end of the book of Daniel, God was revealing so many things to Daniel, especially about the end times. And as you look at the end of the book of Daniel, if you go with me over to Daniel chapter 12, this is a section of scripture that came to mind as I considered, what has God revealed? Now, as Daniel gets to the end of those prophecies, he's praying and asking God, tell me exactly what all this means. And he tells Daniel, well, no, it's not for you to know all of these things. And yet at the same time, he gives him a little glimpse of what is critical and what is most important. He talks to Daniel about all of these amazing, life-changing events that are going to happen through time, world-ruling governments that are coming. He talks about the challenges and the difficulties in those things. And as Daniel seeks to know more, God tells Daniel, he tells us, I think, something critical when it comes to the challenges that life often presents. And in these challenges, he reveals to Daniel, he reveals to us, Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. He says to Daniel, many shall be purified, made white, and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And so we don't want to sugarcoat this whole thing. It's been a tough time. It's been difficult. But have we seen it as a refining process? That, yeah, God can test us. God can challenge us. And God wants to purify us. And was all of our busyness just a temporary thing? And as we get back to normal, that we're going to push God back on the back burner? You see, this is a challenge for us. This is a time to take time and to contemplate, how strong has my relationship with God really been? Have I really been refined? Have I been purified? God wants to do just that. And what has God revealed about me? Have I recognized different shortcomings in my own life that I need to change? What about my family? I mean, our family has been forced together in many ways, and sometimes family can be a pressure cooker that, yeah, it shows you your strengths, but it can definitely show you your weaknesses as well. You like what you see? I saw an article that I read in the New York Post, and it focused on this time. It said that the headline was, "The coronavirus is making couples sick." And my initial thought as I thought on it is, yeah, it's a deadly kind of flu type thing that's going around. But that wasn't the whole title. The title of the article was, "Coronavirus is making couples sick of each other. And lawyers are seeing divorces surge." Yeah, life definitely, as we are in a pressure cooker, brings out our strengths and our weaknesses. Have we identified those things? Yeah, sometimes when life just goes on as usual, it distracts us from the real issues that we have to address, that we have to confront in our lives. And so we can take positive steps to evaluate ourselves, our marriages, our families. You know, and if there's been conflict, yeah, sometimes our families have been in this situation as well. We haven't gotten along the way we're supposed to get along. Well, if there's been conflict in your family, it's time to pray about it. Pray that we can grow and identify the challenges and truly change. So what have we learned? Have we learned anything new about our mate? Have we learned anything new about our children? Have we learned anything new about our church, our fellowship, the body of Christ? You see, we all process things a little bit differently. So what is it that, what can I learn? Me personally, what can I take from this? And here's our chance to talk about it with each other, to discuss it. And one, I think, one of the most positive outcomes can be prayer. Prayer, that we can pray over the good. We can pray over the bad. And we can pray over the things in between as well. And we don't want to avoid those things that God has shown us and He's revealed to us. And we really have to pay attention to exactly what He's shown and make the adjustments, make the changes, and not miss out on the chance to grow, not miss out on the chance to heal relationships, not miss out on the chance to change. Because God is testing us. He is trying us, and He wants to purify us, like He told Daniel. And so as a couple, as a family, as a person, we want to become more like Christ. And hopefully this time has shown us life is challenging, and it's frail. You know, it's unstable. You know, there's things that change so easily. And it's probably recognizing the fact that this is the time, more than ever, to pray and ask God to help us shore up our weaknesses, shore up our defenses, and be a true servant of Jesus Christ, to really give it our all in a way that we've never done before. I think of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, a powerful passage, just short, but says so much. Maybe you've memorized this particular passage. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are such powerful words. If you turn there with me, you'll recognize it because it talks about our all. It talks about giving God our all, giving Him all our fear, giving Him all our worry, giving Him all our concern, handing Him all our life, everything that we are. Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." And so this is the time more than ever to do just that. In fact, it goes on in verse 6, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Now, yeah, I want to be in control, though. I want to be in charge. It's difficult when that's the kind of personality that we may be. But here we're told, acknowledge God. Acknowledge God. This is the Hebrew word yada, Y-A-D-A, yada. And it just doesn't mean acknowledge, like, hey, God, how you doing kind of thing. No, there's such a depth of meaning in this word. If you were to look it up in any good word dictionary, it will tell you acknowledge Him in all your ways. It means everything inside and out, to know His ways, backwards and forwards, to recognize He's the ultimate judge of our lives. In fact, this word is used over 1,000 times in the Old Testament. Over and over and over again, it's used in powerful ways. And so it's showing us very clearly, in every way, submit to Him. Seek His will in all that you do. In many of the passages, yada is translated in some form of knowing, to know or have known or understanding. Some of the concepts include respecting and be positively sure in. To consider, to discover, and discern. And you see, you put all of those things together and it begins to paint a much bigger picture of what acknowledging God in all our ways is all about. It's not just a surface kind of tip of the hat type of thing. What this is talking about is what we've been facing at this time. This is a life-altering change, a life-altering change in all our actions, in all our dealings, in all our understandings, in every circumstance, in every undertaking. We must recognize God's providence in our life, His overruling judgment, His superseding direction for each and every one of us. That's what we're to acknowledge. And it doesn't say, when He says He'll direct our path, it doesn't say, well, nothing will ever go wrong in your life. That's not what it says. But it does say, even in the bad things, even in the difficulties, even in the crisis, things will be bearable because God's there sharing the load with us. He has an amazing plan for each and every one of us. He has a purpose of life. And so as we consider this, let's consider that new path, that new perspective. Because after all, even the slightest little change, the smallest change in direction, changes our trajectory. And it can make a big impact in the future. And so now is the time to take that opportunity to trust God more than ever. It is a time of reset. It's a time to look at our lives and examine the losses that we've experienced. And yet at the same time, so many positive things can come out of these difficult circumstances. And we can take the time to ultimately acknowledge what God has shown us, what He's revealed to us. And as this crisis begins to subside, let's resolve never to go back fishing. God's given us a great calling. He's given us the gift of the power to change. So let's determine to make every day a spiritual one so that we can truly live the new normal.